Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, December the 9th, 2022. Former MISD principal comes home as superintendent. Lone finalist for MISD top executive comments on Trek Back to Midland by Stuart Doreen. Stephanie Howard is coming home. The former principal at Lee High School and San Jacinto Junior High will make a trek from Crane ISD back to Midland to become the school district's next superintendent. Howard left Midland ISD in 2013, making stops at Ector County ISD twice, Plains ISD, and Crane ISD. She is a West Texas woman, having grown up in Robert Lee, attended college at Angelo State, and worked in districts like Big Spring ISD and Stanton before making her first stop in Midland in 1999. It was familiarity with West Texas and Midland ISD that was a factor to the school board's 7-0 vote to make Howard the lone finalist to replace Angela Ramsey, who left Midland ISD for the same position at Fort Worth ISD. The board will meet again during the last week of December to formally approve Howard as the next superintendent, and Howard will take over the Midland ISD during the first week of 2023. Her knowing who we are at the Midland ISD was very important, Board President Brian Murray said of Howard. She's familiar. She's been in ECISD. She's been in Crane. She's been in Midland before, and so she knows who we are. Just knowing that she fits our community, she knows who we are, and she is one of us. That was a big asset for her. Howard will make $280,000, which is $30,000 less than Ramsey was making prior to her departure. Howard also takes over a district that, according to Texas Education Agency, made great gains inside the classroom, becoming a B-rated school district and increasing the number of A and B campuses from 4 to 13. Midland ISD reported Wednesday night that Crane's accountability rating went from a D to a B in 2022. Likewise, her previous school district, ECISD, also showed comparable gains this past school year. Howard was deputy superintendent at ECISD until 2021. There are times when it just seems to be the right fit, said Howard, of her interest in coming back to Midland ISD. I never expected this to open up so quickly. And so when it did, I had the opportunity to look into the position and get to visit with the board about it, it just seemed like the right time and the right fit. Returning home means her husband, James, will put less miles on his vehicle. When she left Midland to grow professionally and acquire herself the experience to become a candidate for the superintendency at Midland ISD, he stayed with the Midland Fire Department, rising to the ranks of fire marshal. That meant driving 90-mile commutes from Plains to work a shift in Midland or 45 miles from Crane. He supported me in all these changes and opportunities that I've had, Howard said. And now this is an opportunity for us to be in the same town and for him to be able to fully invest in his career as well. Howard is the second straight woman that a Midland ISD board has hired to lead the district as the permanent superintendent. Murray said Howard will inherit the keys to a district that has better systems in place and better paths moving forward than when Ramsey started in early 2021. Murray said having Howard in place in early January will allow her to adequately plan for the rest of the year and for the 2023-24 school year, including determining what the new calendar will look like. More things to know about MISD's lone finalist for superintendent. College, Bachelor of Arts, Angelo State University, Education, English and Communications, 1995. Master of Education, University of Texas of the Permian Basin, Educational Leadership, 2001. Doctor of Education, University of Texas, San Antonio, Educational Leadership, 2014. And personal, Stephanie is a native of Robert Lee. Her husband, James, serve as a fire marshal for the City of Midland Fire Department. Stephanie and James have been married for nearly 30 years and have two daughters. Her philosophy of education. I believe every student deserves a high-quality education where they can reach their full potential. I believe all students can learn when given the right opportunities where they are held to high expectations and have a team of adults around them to support them in achieving those high expectations. I believe a well-rounded education is one where students not only learn the required content, but are a part of co- and extracurricular activities where they learn the value of hard work, dedication, teamwork, and where they take pride in representing their school and community well. I believe that while not all students will go to college, it is our job as educators and as school district to prepare students for post-secondary opportunities where they can be successful and contributing members of society. To accomplish all this, we must work in partnership with parents, families, the community, colleges and universities, and external partners. Finally, I believe that our schools should be a place where students feel safe, welcomed, challenged, supported, encouraged, and driven to achieve at high levels. For these reasons, as an educator, I must be at my best every day and establish a culture where everyday students are learning and succeeding, and employees are enjoying the important work they do. Workforce Commission on Understaffing in Midland, young workers have options. Experts suggest that restaurants, businesses become more creative with demographic, by Ben Schaefer. Over the last few months, Midland has seen closures of local favorites. In late April, Ally Village Butter closed due to understaffing. 2 weeks ago, Chuck and Patty's on State Highway 349 corridor closed for the same reason. 2 days ago, Midland staple Graham's Pharmacy sold out to Walgreens. It's clear some local businesses, many of them restaurants, are experiencing issues finding appropriate staff members to run smoothly. Willie Taylor, president of Workforce Solutions Permian Basin, said that unemployment is around or under 3% in Midland, the third lowest percentage in the state. So why have some local shops and restaurants been compromised by understaffing? When you look at a restaurant, a lot of their workers are younger workers, Taylor said. And, you know, they have options. Whether they want to work at a restaurant or get into education or healthcare, they have a lot of different options. So that's the reason it's struggling. According to Taylor, getting a jump start on a career by the way of pursuing higher education or entering a professional field provides far more material benefits to a younger demographic, which may have traditionally worked as servers or cashiers. Traditionally, when you see unemployment is low like this, wages are up and a lot of the restaurant wages are low compared to a lot of other areas, Taylor said. Midland has also experienced growth specifically in the restaurant industry over the last few years. Taylor claimed that prior to this growth, students at Midland College, local teenagers, and 20-somethings could fill all the positions available in Midland's food business. We have just as so much growth in that industry and just cannot keep pace, Taylor said. As far as a solution to this problem, Taylor suggested restaurants and businesses become more creative with staffing and scheduling the younger demographic. Be flexible with them because some of them might want to work, but they may want to also go to college, he said. Taylor added that Workforce Solutions provides subsidized childcare, a benefit, as Taylor said, childcare is a challenge for young parents looking to find work. Taylor couldn't validate if restaurants or businesses have avoided coming to Midland because of understaffing issues, but claimed businesses considering Midland as an option for a new location will receive data on recent understaffing closures and participation from younger demographics, which could serve as a deterrent. People are working, it's just that younger group. Like I said, a lot of these young folks have different interests, he said. Taylor, who's been with the Workforce Commission for decades, says this might be the worst he's seen as far as understaffing. He also urged local restaurants struggling with staffing to reach out to the Workforce Commission for help. Reflection Ministries offers human trafficking survivors a chance at life by Krisha Grizzard. So often in life, we have the intention of serving and investing in the needs of our communities, but we allow busyness and complacency to rob us of that experience. Or maybe we minimize our gifts and talents and claim we could not possibly have anything to offer. And then one day you meet Elisa Bounds. Lisa is the founder and CEO of Reflection Ministries, a local anti-human trafficking ministry right here in the Permian Basin. Reflection Ministries' mission is to identify human trafficking victims, equip cities, and provide avenues of restoration for human trafficking victims. For many of us, the phrase human trafficking makes us feel uncomfortable and a reality we do not want to acknowledge is happening right here in our community, in the homes, in our neighborhoods, in the businesses we pass by every day on the streets of our town. How could these atrocities happen in a town like Midland? How could we buy and sell a human for sex in 2022? How could the Permian Basin be one of the top five regions in the United States for a hub of human trafficking? Again, this is a topic that even I was not educated or nor would I have ever imagined was happening here and all over the United States. Until I had the privilege of meeting Lisa and hearing her story in February of 2021. Lisa is a survivor of human trafficking and has now surrendered her life to the work of Jesus Christ and is on the front lines battling the horrendous world of human trafficking daily. As she spoke about the happenings of her own life, I knew I could not go back to living my life complacent, comfortable, and unwilling to step into this world that many say is too much for us to talk about or handle. Reflection Ministries depicts the biblical truth behind Isaiah 6:1, binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, bestowing on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Reflection is the only facility in the United States that serves at crisis up to 4 years after, the closest being Canada. A vision came to a young girl long before she even knew what her life would entail. The Lord spoke to her and told her she would work with the most vulnerable population in the world. Since that moment and many years later, the vision of the Reflection Ministries has come to life. The ministry has a beautiful property that houses survivors, an academy where the residents attend school, each resident having an assigned case manager, group and one-on-one counseling, art therapy, equine therapy, dental, vision, and OBGYN care. We have got to quit ignoring the realities of the tragedies happening in our world and begin to be someone and do something. My prayer is that Lisa will cross your path and you will learn more about this team of selfless, life-giving, incredible humans that has devoted their days to standing beside the survivors of human trafficking, allowing them a chance at a life that the Lord always intended them to have. My challenge for each of you reading this is to truly pray and think about what your role is with this ministry. Maybe it is not serving directly, but rather connecting reflections with sources you know and have access to. Pouring your monetary earnings into a ministry that is providing a chance at life for the survivors of human trafficking, of being raped hundreds of times a day, beaten, starved, stripped of luxuries many of us take for granted, education, independence, and most impactful, their voice to stand on. And it is not monetary. Maybe it is actively volunteering and giving of your time and of your gifts to the residents so they are able to see people in the community willing and wanting to do life with them, not standing idly by for another second, rather walking with them, teaching them, showing them that we serve a Father that restores, redeems, and renews. Dog Rescue RS saves thousands of animals each year. Dog Rescue RS, DRRU, is an animal rescue with a facility located in Gardendale between Midland and Odessa and serving the West Texas area. We rescue dogs that have been abandoned on the streets and released to local shelters. They're being dumped at an unprecedented rate in the oil fields and desolate highways and in the neighborhoods abused and neglected. West Texas is a third world country for neglected animals. The shelters are always at max capacity, and the only way to make room for new animals is to euthanize the existing ones at the highest rate ever seen. The cycle repeats daily. Texas as a whole is worse than any other state in the U.S., and laws are not being changed here, still qualifying an animal to be considered an object. Just like a couch, you can throw it away with no reprimand. You can backyard breed with no reprimand. Law enforcement is at an all-time low to help the voiceless animals. By the time you read this, we'll have saved more than 12,000 dogs in less than 4 years. Dog Rescue RS transports all these otherwise sure to be dead dogs, either through abandonment or euthanasia at the shelter, to their now forever beautiful indoor homes in northern states across America, where the communities have their resources, space, and appreciation for these animals. DRRU currently transports to 8 northern United States and to Canada. DRRU pays for all vetting and transportation costs. DRRU has 4 buses we use to transport the animals in the most comfortable manner we can provide. We drive an average of 12,000 miles a month to relocate these sweet furry angels. The approximate cost is $15,000 each month for transportation. Dog Rescue RS spends another $7,500 a month for vaccines, preventative care, health certificates, and more. Transported dogs must meet every state requirement at the cost of a minimum of $150 for each dog. Then there are emergencies with which we are inundated with on a daily basis. The DRRU board and dedicated team of volunteers work tirelessly to save the voiceless animals. In almost 4 years, close to 300-plus dogs per month have been saved. Read that again. Approximately 10-plus dogs per day have been saved, each day, every day, all year long, even yesterday and especially tomorrow. We hope these numbers are a wake-up call to our community. Education is the key component missing with this horrible problem. Current laws need to be reinforced. We need to educate the public not only to the importance of spay and neuter of their pets to help combat the overpopulation epidemic, but to also educate the public on how to vet and care for a pet. Dog Rescue RS is a nonprofit corporation located in Midland and Odessa, and it was established in January of 2019.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, December 9th, 2022. Hayes surprised to be offered ECUD job. During its scheduled meeting on Tuesday afternoon, the Ector County Utility District approved the hiring of Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes as its new general manager. Hayes, on Thursday morning, said she was, quote, surprised, end quote, that she was offered the job. However, Hayes said she hasn't accepted the offer as she plans on meeting with ECUD next week. Quote, I got a phone call saying that they had a meeting and that they wanted to offer me the position, end quote, Hayes said. Quote, I told them that I would like to visit and that was the end of it, end quote. ECUD President Tommy Irvin said there were more than 19 applicants for the position. The salary for the position hasn't been solidified, but Irvin said it will likely range between $100,000 to $105,000. Irvin said that a hiring committee comprised of himself and ECUD board member Stephanie Shaw and former board member Will Kapoff brought 2 finalists, including Hayes, to its board meeting on Tuesday afternoon. Quote, the knowledge she has working with people, end quote, Irvin said when asked why ECUD chose Hayes. Quote, it will help with the relationship between Ector County Utility District and Ector County. That relationship is going to be a lot smoother. The relationship she has with the county and county employees. She doesn't have to relocate, end quote. The Odessa American has requested a list of applicants and when they applied for the position. Irvin said he believes that ECUD started accepting applications for the position in early August, while Hayes said she applied for the position in October. Irvin said the idea of hiring a general manager began in December 2021, picked up steam in March 2022, and finally began in August 2022. With the position of general manager, that makes 16 paid employees of ECUD. On August 3rd, the Ector County Commissioner's Court voted 4-1 to approve $10 million in ARPA funds for ECUD. Hayes, along with Mike Gardner, Greg Simmons, and Don Stringer, all voted to approve the ARPA funds. The lone dissenting vote came from Commissioner for Precinct 4, Armando Rodriguez. He explained during the annual budget meeting that he voted against the allocation as he believed ARPA funds should have been discussed publicly. During its meeting on Tuesday, Ector County Commissioner for Precinct 1, Mike Gardner, requested the subrecipient agreements for the West Odessa Volunteer Fire Department and Ector County Utility District be moved to the final meeting of the calendar year on December 16th. Gardner said in light of Hayes being offered the job at ECUD that the subrecipient request that was moved to December 16th should be split into two parts. He also said that if he was offered that job, that he would abstain from voting on that issue. Quote, she probably should, end quote, Gardner said about Hayes abstaining from voting on the subrecipient agreement for ECUD. Quote, if it was me, I would, end quote. Murray. Facilities report highlights need for bond. Facility upkeep and hopes for the legislative session were the main topics of Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray's media call Wednesday. The ECISD Board of Trustees on December 6th received a report from the Facilities Department, focusing on maintenance and facility operations that the district provides to the 40 campuses and 19 ancillary buildings. A list of projects that are ongoing in ECISD was also talked about, along with district needs. Quote, it proved to be a fascinating discussion. The first element of this report last night to our Board of Trustees talked about some outside organizations that have provided a look at the facility and operations of ECISD, and both of those reports really commended the work of our maintenance department and our facilities department in the maintenance and upkeep of our existing buildings, end quote, Murray said. He was referring to PBK Architects and the Texas Association of School Business Officials. Quote, we have buildings as old as 85 years of age, and as our buildings continue to get older, they require more maintenance. Both of these external organizations commended our team and the work they're doing to ensure that our kids and our staff members have adequate facilities to support them, end quote, Murray said. The district has 4.9 million square feet of space and 433 acres of property. Quote, our maintenance team monitors that to ensure that our property is well maintained and safe for, again, our kids and staff, end quote, he added. Quote, when buildings begin to age, the maintenance needs become more significant, and so we had an in-depth conversation last night, December 6th, about our buildings and at what point does it become more cost-effective to replace a building, end quote, or continue to repair aging facilities, end quote, Murray said. Quote, as we engaged in that conversation, the more we realized the importance of a bond referendum. Some of our buildings are becoming so old and antiquated that it would be much more cost-effective for us to replace the buildings than it would be to continue to repair their aging infrastructure, aging pipelines, aging water lines, and electricity, end quote, Murray said. Quote, the energy needs in our schools continue to evolve, and so as we looked at the infrastructure of these aging facilities, it became very apparent that some of our facilities are in need not just of repair, but it's time to replace some of these aging facilities. And once again, we have that opportunity as we begin to form a bond package during the upcoming months, end quote. The board and leadership team also has been very busy talking about the district's legislative agenda. Quote, the board is very passionate about some very particular items on the legislative agenda. We know that this upcoming legislative session, we have some real opportunities to move forward in education across our state, specifically in the area of school finance. Our Board of Trustees is advocating strongly for continued funding in a variety of areas, public school funding. The state of Texas is woefully behind the funding that is received in other states. We want to make sure that we have adequate funding to do the work that we do in ECISD. We are also advocating a lot of human capital investment, investing in our teachers to make sure that our teachers are, quote, the best paid in the nation, end quote, Murray said. They also want to ensure that teachers have professional learning opportunities, that they are developing pipelines for those who want to become teachers, and to make sure that ECISD is able to recruit and retain the best instructors and help them become the best they can be. Quote, we're advocating a close look at our ESSER, Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief, funding. Many people are aware the federal government provided some significant dollars to school districts across the country as we recover from the pandemic. Because of those investments, we've been able to make some really wise choices in how we use that money in ECISD, end quote, Murray said. Quote, we're asking our state legislator to look at some of the investments that we've made, the lessons that we've learned, then how can those investments continue to be funded through our state legislature? We've learned a lot of good things, made some wise investments, and have some great results, and we want to make sure that those investments continue, end quote, he added. Murray said ECISD is in a very different position this year than it has been in many years regarding funding. Quote, normally we sit and wait for the legislature to make decisions, and then we're just the recipients of whatever decisions they make. This year, it's just the opposite. ECISD is invited to the table. In fact, last week we met for 2 hours with Senator Brandon Crighton. He is the chairman of the Senate Public Education Committee. We shared our work with him, the investments we're making locally, and the effect of those investments on everything from our teacher workforce and human capital to academics, end quote, Murray said. Quote, on Monday of this week, we shared with the governor's office, the lieutenant governor's office, and then members of the House and the Senate, specifically our human capital work. All the teachers' pipelines that we've developed, the teacher incentive allotment that we're using, our educator preparation program, the Odessa Pathway to Teaching, so all of our human capital work we shared with multiple members of the House and Senate. We're invited to these. We're not going on our own. We actually are asked to come and present because of the success that we're having. It's a very different place. We have an opportunity, because of good work and good results, to actually be an influencer in our state legislature this year, end quote, he added. Part of the December 6th board meeting also included a presentation of targeted improvement plans. Edward K. Downing principal Lindsay Lupkin said she had 14 first and second year teachers at her West Odessa campus. Murray has previously said the most effective and experienced teachers should go to the highest need campuses. Quote, if you remember, the state of Texas provides a financial incentive for teachers that are the most effective teachers, and that dollar amount is driven by the amount of poverty that you have within your school environment. The higher the poverty level, the more money teachers make. I call that a pull strategy. Rather than forcing people to take those opportunities, we use dollars to pull people into those high-need schools. The teacher incentive allotment is one way to incentivize teachers to move from a low-poverty school to a much higher poverty school. It affects their bottom line, their bank account, if you will, end quote, Murray said. Asked if it works, Murray said this is the second year of the teacher incentive allotment for ECISD. Quote, we're starting to see it work, but this is the second year of implementation. We had 130 teachers last year that received the teacher incentive allotment. The strategy will work, but it just takes time for teachers to realize what they're making today and then the opportunity they would have if they worked in a higher poverty school. But to your point, we want our most effective teachers to serve our most fragile children. That is the goal, yes, end quote. Defying the odds. OC grad overcomes learning obstacles to earn bachelor's degree. In high school, Kenneth Fletcher was told he would be nothing more than a garbage man based on career test results. But he will graduate from Odessa College with a Bachelor of Applied Arts and Sciences degree in entrepreneurship. Next, the 39-year-old Fort Worth native will go for his bachelor's in criminal justice leadership, and hopefully in 2024, his bachelor's degree in occupational health and safety. Odessa College's School of Business and Industry will graduate at 6 p.m. Friday. The College of Liberal Arts and Education will commence at 10 a.m. Saturday and at 2 p.m. Saturday, Health, Careers, Adult Basic Education, and Continuing Education will graduate. All ceremonies are in the OC Sports Center and will be live-streamed. Fletcher worked for the City of Odessa for 11 years, starting in code enforcement. He was then a police officer with the Odessa Police Department and then went to the Fire Marshal's Office. A graduate of Lee, now Legacy, High School in Midland, he got his firefighter and EMT certification in the 2007-08 from Midland College. He went into the fire service in Midland for a little while. When he left, he did some odd jobs and then returned to OC because he decided he needed his degrees. He said the City of Odessa is always wanting employees to get more education. Quote, they actually came up with their own classes. They had their own management certificate, and they were looking at it to where if you wanted to promote, you needed this management certificate. They were actually paying for your classes. I came back and I started doing those classes to get the management certificate with the business program. Then I decided, you know what, I'm doing really good in these classes. I should just stay, so I came through and I finished up my fire degree in 2019, and I graduated with my associate in fire administration. 2020, I got my General Studies Associate Degree. 2021, I got my Associate in Criminal Justice Leadership. 2022 will be my first Bachelor's Degree in Entrepreneurship. 2023, I'll get my Bachelor's Degree in Criminal Justice Leadership. And hopefully in 2024, I'll have my Bachelor's Degree in Occupational Health and Safety Management. I'm getting 3 of the 4 bachelor's degrees that Odessa College offers, end quote, Fletcher said. Once in school, Fletcher couldn't stop, partly because it's hard to go back once you've stepped back. He has taken all his classes online. Quote, the staff here at Odessa College, they're amazing. They're willing to work with you no matter what it is. If you have questions, if you have concerns. Even in my classes here recently, I've been sick, so I haven't been up to my normal par. My professors have noticed, and they've called and checked on me to make sure that I'm doing okay, because they noticed a decline in my work. It's almost like having a family, and you're not just a number here, end quote, Fletcher said. He is now trying to get on at the Odessa or Midland College Police Department. His goal is to start work in January. The fact that he's graduating is exciting. Quote, when I was in high school, they diagnosed me with dyslexia and a learning disability, where my short-term memory switching to my long-term memory doesn't function quite properly. So things that I read a lot of times don't switch over to long-term memory. I have trouble with that. A lot of my books I buy online because they read them to me. If someone reads it to me, I can remember it. I can remember conversations from years ago, but I can't remember what I read 20 minutes ago. It's been a challenge, end quote, Fletcher said. When he was in high school, they had to take tests to tell them what their profession was going to be. Quote, I wasn't supposed to be any more than a garbage man. That's what the test said, end quote, Fletcher recalled. Quote, I graduated high school. My math level was post-high school. I was really good at math because math was numbers, and it was black and white. You either had it right or not. But my reading level was pre-junior high when I graduated high school. So to come back and do well in college, I never thought I would go to college because I didn't think after being told for so long that you weren't good enough to do it. I didn't think I was going to. As long as I continue on with this, I should graduate with a 4.0 with my bachelor's degree, end quote, he added. Fletcher said he has learned to deal with his dyslexia on his own. Quote, I use a lot of spell checks, end quote, he said. His sister, Letitia Wren, also has a master's degree in English and teaches at Legacy High School in Midland, so he can use her to review his work as well. Google also is a useful tool because if you can't spell a word, Google can tell you how. Additionally, he'll read his work out loud, which helps him correct it. Quote, my goal in life is to help people and teach people, end quote, Fletcher said. Being able to graduate after being told he wouldn't be anything more than a garbage man is something he can tell youngsters who might get discouraged. Quote, you just have to learn how to do it. We're in a society now where it's okay not to be good at something, and we don't push to make people better and make them understand that we all have problems. Everyone has problems these days. It's not a nice world anymore. We all still have to get up every day, and we have to carry on, even if you have problems, and you have to learn to work with those, no matter what it is. And yes, there's a lot of problems out there, and there's a lot of ways to deal with them. But we all have to get help, and we all have to figure out how to move forward with life, end quote, Fletcher said. He is a member of Phi Theta Kappa OC Honors College and National Society of Leadership and Success. Combining that, he hopes that will enable him to pick up some scholarships and grants at the university level. He's in somewhat of a competition with his sister to keep racking up the degrees. Quote, my ultimate plan is to finish my career and then come back and actually teach with all my degrees. I want to adjunct teach, though, because I want to do it from a beach, end quote, he joked. Asked what advice he would give people in the same situation, Fletcher said, don't let anybody tell you what you're going to be or what you're going to do in life. Quote, a lot of times in life, people will bring you down because they want to bring you down to their level. They're not living their best life and they don't want to see other people succeed. But you have to follow your dreams no matter what it is and work hard, and as long as you're working hard, you can pretty much get to any dream that you have. It might take you a little longer. It's been 20 years this year since I graduated high school, and I'm getting my first degree, end quote, Fletcher said. OC Board approves audit. The Odessa College Board of Trustees approved its audited financial statements during a special meeting Thursday in the Zant Room of the Salisbury Campus Center. The college received a clean, unmodified opinion. The firm of Whitley Penn conducted the audit. Quote, the purpose of the audit really is to provide the users of the financial statements with reasonable assurance that they can rely on them. We do look at everything as of August 31st, 2022 in this case. Our goal as auditors is to obtain reasonable assurance, not absolute, that the financial statements are materially correct, end quote, Roger Tovar, a partner at Whitley Penn, said. Odessa Controller Christy Gibbs said the College ended the year with an increase in current assets, a decrease in long-term debt, and a surplus of $13.5 million. Gibbs said OC gave $385,000 to the Vision 2030 Plus project and $154,000 to the Promise program. According to the OC website, the OC Promise is a last-dollar-in scholarship opportunity that covers the cost of tuition and fees for the eligible class of 2024 high school graduates. Eligible students for the program will be high school seniors who live in the Odessa College service area and who will graduate in the class of 2024. GED and homeschool students must be between the ages of 17 to 19 years of age after 2024. Eligible students also must be enrolled full-time in an associate degree or workforce certificate pathway, the site said. President Gregory Williams said it's important for the board to receive a clean audit. Quote, in addition, we have a surplus. We're operating effectively. We're getting better and better, not only in the classroom and with more students on board, more enrollments, more success, more graduations, more graduates, but in addition to that, we're taking care of things financially at the same time. We're doing it the right way in almost every way, end quote, Williams said. Nominate a student volunteer for the 2023 Student Heroes Award. The State Board of Education is now accepting nominations for the 2023 Student Heroes Award. The Student Heroes Award program recognizes Texas public school students in pre-kindergarten through high school who voluntarily work to assist or benefit their fellow Texas students. Student volunteers possess enormous passion and talents that are displayed in numerous ways. Actions of past recipients include organizing a project that distributed 350 care bags to the homeless and unsheltered, advocating for safe teen driving by successfully promoting an app, establishing a foundation to provide support to cancer patients and their families while receiving treatment, collecting supplies for disaster relief in hard-hit areas, and launching an organization dedicated to spreading awareness about mental health. Up to 15 students, one per state board of education district, may receive the award each year. Anyone may nominate a Texas public school student for the award. Award requirements include the following. The service, assistance, and/or good deed must be voluntary and not part of any curriculum, graduation requirement, class, or a community project. The service, assistance, and/or good deed must benefit other students in Texas either individually or collectively. The benefit may be to students of one campus, district, or community. Nominations will be accepted through 5 p.m. March 31st, 2023. Recipients of the Student Heroes Awards will be announced in June. A plaque and medal will be awarded to each student hero by his or her State Board of Education member. Nomination forms and program guidelines are available at tinyurl.com/MRYJ3TDB. The online nomination form can be accessed directly at tinyurl.com/34TDNARA. For more information, email heroes@tea.texas.gov or call 512-463-9007. Home for the Holidays. Divas and Desserts returns after 3 years with Christmas-themed show. After a nervous 3-year wait, one of Basin Theater Works' most popular shows returns just in time for Christmas with Divas and Desserts. The event features entertainment from a talented group of women in the Permian Basin who will dazzle audience members and get them into the holiday spirit. The show will begin at 6 p.m. December 16th at the MCM Grand Hotel. Tickets can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/3CSJ4ZC2. Divas and Desserts show director Amanda Lopez couldn't be happier for them to be bringing back the event, which also serves as a fundraiser for Basin Theater Works. The last Divas and Desserts was in 2019 and didn't take place in 2020 or 2021 due to the pandemic. Quote, I'm beyond excited for us to be back doing Divas and Desserts, especially after having a break due to the pandemic, end quote, Lopez said. Quote, we couldn't be more excited to get back on the stage with all the divas being back together, singing and dancing and just doing what we love with the community and putting on a good show, end quote. There'll be plenty of singing and dancing, as the evening will also include food, drinks, and a live auction. The local, quote, divas, end quote, are women from different industries but are no strangers to the stage. This year's divas feature 11 women who will be performing. Most of them have been involved with Divas and Desserts for all 5 editions. The cast list this year includes Brittany Handlin, Cindy Ward, Dana Ritter, Dawn Weeks, Emily Baker, Kara Williams, Krista Escamilla, Nikki Windham, Sarah Lelestal, Stephanie Rivas, and Tina Mobley. Quote, we have local divas in the sense that we've been around the community forever and people know their names and want to come see them, end quote, Lopez said. Quote, so there's that part about getting all the divas back on stage. Cindy Ward, one of our divas, used to have her own show, Cindy Ward and Friends, and some people would come to see her sing. So there's lots of different things that makes a lady a diva. Picking who gets to be on the stage each year is exciting because our divas don't want to leave. The first-year divas, so many of them are still here and want to come back every year, and that's a lot of fun to work with, end quote. There's a strong friendship between all of the divas, as many of them perform in other shows and plays with each other. Each member agreed that the best part of coming back for divas and desserts is just being together. Quote, it's the girls being with the girls, end quote, Ward said. Quote, we're a very close-knit group, and even though we've only practiced for a couple of months, we're just so close. That's my favorite. Of course, there's also performing. I've been singing since I was a little kid, so getting to sing anywhere is a big thrill for me, end quote. For Rivas, who is the general manager at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, being with the other divas is like family. Quote, I think that the most fun about divas and desserts is the divas themselves, end quote, Rivas said. Quote, we all enjoy performing and entertaining, but truly, we all do it because we love theater and we want to support it and bringing it to West Texas, end quote. Ward and Rivas have been a part of each Divas and Desserts since the inaugural installment. They, too, said the excitement level was through the roof when learning about this year's show. Quote, our phones were blowing up asking each other if we were going to be in the show, end quote, Ward said. Quote, I've missed this show. I've missed it so much. I was thrilled, and I hope to be doing this for 5 more years, end quote. Rivas echoed those thoughts. Quote, I can't tell you how excited we were when we received the text message that we were having Divas and Desserts back this year, end quote, Rivas said. Quote, I think we were all screaming by a text. It truly is a fundraiser that I felt like it grew each year, not just in the funds that we were able to raise, but in the publicity that we were able to give Permian Playhouse and Basin Theater Works, end quote. Over the years, Divas and Desserts have had different themes. In 2019, the theme was Grease Lightning, which brought audience members back to the 50s and 60s with music, dancing, and an old-fashioned banana split bar. This year's theme is Home for the Holidays, which Lopez said is very appropriate given the show's return. Quote, the exciting part is that this year's theme for Divas and Desserts is Home for the Holidays, end quote, Lopez said. Quote, so that's a really special sentiment for us this year. Our divas are coming back to the theater and back to the Fun Dome to get back together again and connect with the community. So the theme of Home for the Holidays, I feel, is even more special following a pandemic. Getting to be together in community is huge, end quote. Theater manager at Basin Theater Works, Tiffany Joyce, talked about how much of a relief it is to bring back the signature fundraiser. Quote, we weren't sure if we were going to bring this back, end quote, Joyce said. Quote, when COVID hit back in 2020, we had a big one planned, and we weren't sure if we were going to survive that like every other theater in the country. This is our biggest fundraiser that we do every year, and we're excited to bring it back. It's such a fun time. If there's anything that theater people know how to do, it's throw a party, end quote. Lopez is encouraging everyone to come and have a fun time. Quote, it is going to be so much fun, end quote, Lopez said. Quote, I can't wait. There's a reason we all come back each year. This is my 5th year involved. We'd love to have people come to the show and see our divas, end quote. Michael Martin Murphy to perform at Ector Theater. After a delay, Michael Martin Murphy will finally be making his way back to Odessa. The famous country music artist was originally supposed to perform at Ector Theater earlier this year in June. However, due to scheduling conflicts, that show was canceled. Now, Murphy will finally get a chance to return to West Texas for a holiday show with his performance titled, quote, Cowboy Christmas, end quote. It'll be the first time in years that he has performed in Odessa. Quote, it feels like a victory, end quote, Murphy said. Quote, it feels like a real victory. We're excited to come back to West Texas. West Texas is a perfect place to do a Cowboy Christmas. The Cowboy Christmas tradition started in West Texas. People have always really supported my show. Our tradition of Cowboy Christmas has always been well-received in Odessa, end quote. For years, Murphy has been a genre-busting artist who's had great success in pop, country, western, and bluegrass, all of which he's had number one songs, albums, or chart-topping impact. He can't remember the last time he performed in Odessa, but he's excited to see the recently renovated Ector Theater. Quote, I haven't been back in several years, so it's very great to be back, end quote, Murphy said. Quote, I've always thought Ector Theater was a fun place to play, even before they did all the remodeling. I've heard it's even more fun to play, end quote. His latest release, quote, The Road Beyond the View, end quote, features a step into more genres with jazz elements. He created and recorded the album with his son, Ryan Murphy. This tour will not only highlight songs from Michael Murphy's more than 50-year touring career, but also feature some songs from the, quote, Road Beyond the View, end quote. Michael's musical journey has taken many unpredictable paths over the past 50 years, but he continues to go strong, performing across the country. In 2018, he released, quote, Austinology, end quote. Celebrating his early days as a pioneer of the Austin music scene of the 70s, with guest artists that included Steve Earle, Lyle Lovett, and more. Quote, it was really sparked by the fact that the Country Music Hall of Fame got in touch with me back in 2016, end quote, Murphy said. Quote, they said, hey, we're going to mount an exhibition called Outlaws and Armadillos, and it's going to be about Austin, and we want you to send some artifacts and some pictures and things like that. I'm not one to look back. I look forward. I started thinking about all the great people I've worked with. I thought about going back and redoing my songs that were the most sought after and some of my favorites from that era. It was really fun doing that. That was the last recording session that Cherry Jeff Walker ever did. It was a lot of fun getting people to do that, end quote. In 2019, Murphy was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Western Heritage Awards, which is their highest honor. Quote, I don't have the words for that one, end quote, Murphy said. Quote, it was difficult to write a speech accepting the award because I had so many people to thank. I knew I was going to run out of time during the speech. But be that as it may, it was one of the most proud moments for me to accept that award by my peers in the Western Heritage world. It probably means more to me than any other award I've been given because my whole career has been dedicated to the American West, end quote. When looking at some of his favorite things about being on tour is being on the road and meeting different audiences. Quote, well, I think the things that you appreciate the most is meeting a new audience and a group of people everywhere you go, end quote, Murphy said. Quote, sometimes we play new places. We hadn't played in Wichita, Kansas in a long time, but it was great to go there last month. What I love the most is getting back and meeting our family and friends around the country. We travel down the road with a band of brothers and sisters. We're all close friends in this troupe that goes down the road, end quote. Latin Grammy-nominated mariachi to bring Christmas concert to Midland. Midland. Latin Grammy nominee Jose Hernandez and his mariachi Sol de Mexico will be coming back to the Permian Basin for next week's Mariachi Christmas Concert. The concert, which is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. December 14th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, will bring a taste of both the Latin style of music mixed in with well-known Christmas favorites. Hernandez last performed in Midland about 4 years ago, and his band is hopeful for coming back to perform each year in the area. Quote, taking our mariachi Christmas show to Midland is going to be great, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, it's been a while since we've been there. We're hoping our show turns into a tradition like so many other cities in Texas, California, and Oregon. We're very excited, end quote. The program will showcase the ensemble's musicianship, playing mariachi favorites as well as the most beloved holiday tracks, including Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite, performed mariachi style. Quote, being able to perform the repertoire that we do for this Christmas show is unique for the audience, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, we do a lot of traditional songs. We also push the limits like do the Nutcracker and do a tribute to Tchaikovsky, and sometimes people will be like, what? But then they hear the classical pieces with mariachi music, and most of the guys are well-trained musically, so it's stuff that we can handle. It's really fun to play, end quote. The Mariachi Sol de Mexico's roster includes Hernandez, founder and director Jorge Contreras, and Moises Ortiz, all on trumpets, along with Adrian Grijalva, Gustavo Peña, Eso Arellano, Denny Morales, Fernando Moreno, Guadalupe Gonzalez, who will be on violins, Jorge Flores, Alejandro Asensio, and Jose Pepe Perez on strings, and Guillermo Acuna will be playing harp. Hernandez said audience members can expect a wide variety of music in a fast-paced show. Quote, there are a lot of songs from Mexico and a few tributes to the great composers and singers from Mexico, as well as a Spanish version of The Little Drummer Boy and Silver Bells, and it's just really neat to celebrate Christmas, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, it's a show that's always moving musically. The 2 hours that people will be there will go by so fast, not only for them, but for us. It's fun to play this show, end quote. The group recently received their 12th Latin Grammy nomination for their latest album, 40 Aniversario Embajadores del Mariachi, 40th Anniversary Mariachi Ambassadors, which is a collection of classic rancheras from the ensemble's 40-year history. While they didn't win at last month's Latin Grammys, the mariachi still enjoyed getting to perform at the awards ceremony in Las Vegas, Nevada. quote, it was really exciting, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, we've been nominated a bunch of times as a group. The first time we got nominated was in 2001, and we were the first mariachi group nominated as a soloist. Before, the mariachis were seen as an accompaniment for the lead singer, end quote. Case in point, Hernandez worked with Linda Ronstadt win a Grammy for her mariachi album in the late 80s. Quote, we were a part of that, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, we were the background for her. It was great in 1988. The Grammys were in 1989. She got the Grammy, but we were part of the four groups that I sort of coordinated musically to accompany her, and it was pretty amazing. It was pretty unique to be a part of that project. I was the musical coordinator for that project and her vocal coach through the whole album. It was a great experience working with her and making sure she pronounced the words correctly, end quote. Coming off the group's 40th anniversary milestone, Hernandez says he's excited about how far mariachis have come. Quote, we started in 1981, and now here we are 41 years later, being nominated for our 40th anniversary album, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, seeing the difference from those days, we used to own a family restaurant, and that's like the best mariachis could do, play at their own place. If you toured, it would be just backing up a singer, end quote. But nowadays, Hernandez has seen so much mariachi travels. The ensemble has played around the world from China to England to Spain. Quote, it's incredible, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, we've seen all different types of audiences and how passionate our music is, that it touches people who enjoy good music. It doesn't matter the genre. They just enjoy music that is well played. It's incredible how far the music has come, end quote. For tickets and more information about the performance, go to https://tinyurl.com/2CP8XRE3. Permian Basin Comic Con returns for a special edition. Comic book lovers, anime fans, and Star Wars enthusiasts in the Odessa Midland area are in for an early Christmas this year. For the first time, the Permian Basin Comic Con, which usually takes place in the spring, will be back for a holiday edition this week. The convention will take place from December 9th through 11th at the Midland Horseshoe Arena. Permian Basin Comic Con promoter Chris Slatosh said the idea of doing a holiday Comic Con had been in the works for a couple of years, but kept getting pushed back. Quote, we've wanted to do it for a long time, end quote, Slatosh said. Quote, we had originally planned to do one in 2020. But the holiday stuff, we feel like a lot of the festivities intermix. It's a good time to get out with family, shop for Christmas, stuff like that. It's exciting. It'll be a lot of fun, end quote. Slatosh said putting on two Comic Cons in the Permian Basin in the same calendar year hasn't been difficult, and mentioned the possibility of doing another December convention if the feedback is good enough. Quote, it's been good, end quote, Slatosh said. Quote, it hasn't been too hectic because we're familiar with the area. We take the formula and replicate it a little, and then we get to add a little holiday flavor into it. We're seeing if the area wants that event in the late fall, early winter. And if they love it, good, we'll do two. If not, we'll stick to our March and spring break event, end quote. This week's guest lineup will feature plenty of well-known voice actors from popular shows such as Phineas and Ferb, Power Rangers, and numerous anime shows. Actor David Ankrum, who played Wedge Antilles in Star Wars, A New Hope, and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, will also be at this week's convention. Quote, a lot of guests that we were getting requests for are coming from the anime world, end quote, Slatosh said. Animated world. Quote, I think it's a great lineup. I think we'll keep March a little more diverse. We tried to shoot for more Christmas-style actors, like ones that were in Nightmare Before Christmas, but as you can imagine, at this time of year, they're extremely hard to get. We just simplified it and kept to the formula and did more fan service in terms of what people are asking for, end quote. The previous Permian Basin Comic-Con earlier this year saw a record for most people at the convention. Quote, our attendance count was about 6,800 for the weekend, end quote, Slatosh said. Quote, we're really happy with that. That was another reason we decided to set up another date, end quote. The convention was also moved from its previous location in downtown Midland to the Horseshoe Arena, which Slatosh said is another reason for the large turnout. Quote, 100%, end quote, Slatosh said. Quote, when we were in downtown Midland, the parking was a big complaint. They're still working on stuff downtown, but the parking and building space at the Horseshoe is so important to the growth of the show, end quote. This weekend's convention will offer plenty of shopping opportunities in time for the holidays. Quote, we focus really heavy on the Christmas market, end quote, Slatosh said. Quote, there are a ton of activities for the kids to do. We have free photos. Some of the vendors will be geared more towards Christmas. I think the Midland High Orchestra is coming out to play Christmas music, and I think they're going to do a couple of Comic-Con related stuff for us, like play a few theme songs from shows. It'll be more holiday-based, but there'll be something familiar to other Comic-Con stuff we've done, end quote. For more information about the Comic-Con, go to tinyurl.com/2j6b7u29. High Sky Wing to offer Christmas lights, night flights. Most families will look at Christmas lights by either driving or sometimes walking around different neighborhoods and displays. However, for 9 years, the Midland High Sky Wing has offered a unique way to experience Christmas lights, flying above from the seat of a vintage World War II plane. Starting this week, the High Sky Wing will be offering its Christmas lights night flights. For 10 nights this month, passengers can fly in a Beech C-45, also known as the Spirit of West Texas, and enjoy the Christmas light splendor in the Odessa Midland area. Flights will take place from 6 to 9:30 p.m. from December 9th through 11th, 14th through 18th, and 20th through 21st, and will take off from the Commemorative Air Force main hangar at Midland International Air and Spaceport before returning. Quote, "We're always excited to bring this back to the community," end quote, wing leader at High Sky Wing, Gina Leinbarger, said. Quote, "We love to see the smiles on everyone's faces when they come off the aircraft. It brings a lot of joy to people," end quote. Each flight lasts about 30 minutes, flying generally over grasslands. Quote, "We do that for two reasons. One, it's lit up very nicely. And two, it's in close proximity to the airport," end quote, Leinbarger said. Quote, "Therefore, we give you more time in the air seeing the lights. Occasionally, we'll take a flight and go downtown Midland and loop around the grassland areas as well. But we want to give our riders as much time as we can to see the beautiful lights," end quote. About four different pilots take turns flying during each night. Quote, "We have several pilots that are qualified to fly," end quote, Leinbarger said. Quote, "The pilots rotate. We have four pilots, and they take turns. That way we don't wear anyone out. They've flown this aircraft consistently. We do encourage our riders to come out early. We do have a little bit of paperwork that goes with it, but we also have hot chocolate and cookies and Christmas music playing, so it's a festive atmosphere. We encourage people to check out our museum while waiting for their flight or spend some time afterwards to go through the museum then," end quote. For Leinbarger, the Christmas lights flights offer a unique opportunity for families to enjoy the displays and for the High Sky Wing to be involved in the community. Children must be ages 5 and older. Quote, "A lot of people don't just get the chance to fly, especially a warbird," end quote, Leinbarger said. Quote, "To combine that experience with going up in the aircraft and seeing the Christmas lights, it's just those beautiful things that comes together. It's a good family thing, too," end quote. The plane seats 5 people. Cabin seats are $75 per person and $145 for the co-pilot seat. Customers also have the choice of purchasing all 5 seats on the aircraft for $395. The C-45 has plenty of history in the Midland area, as Leinbarger said. It was a plane that has seen a lot at the Midland Airfield during World War II. The aircraft was used to help train bombardiers during the war, who actually used an AT-11, a plane much similar to the C-45. Quote, "We're giving people a history lesson, and we call them a living history flight," end quote, Leinbarger said. Quote, "We're combining the joy of Christmas with a little bit of education and what it would be like in World War II to fly a C-45, end quote. The C-45 is also capable of handling children ages 5 and up, which is another reason the High Sky Wing uses that plane each year. Quote, "The seating is more like a commercial airline," end quote, Leinbarger said. Quote, "It accommodates the younger folks. Not all the CAF aircraft is capable of doing that. Most of the time you have to be 12 or up to ride, so that's why this is a great family gift to give as well," end quote. To book a flight, email rides@highskywing.org or call 432-254-6182. For more information about the Christmas lights, night flights, or the High Sky Wing and the CAF, visit tinyurl.com/42E7N9H9.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.